Hi, I'm Tom Caters, and you're listening to the 24-Hour Podcast.
Con, except we got two more hours to go if we were at a con.
It's not nearly... Wait a minute, con is not nearly as annoying.
It's kind of man-funky like a con in here, though.
Well, geez, what do you want?
Ooh, and Caters is letting... Caters. Yeah, Caters, drink that monster.
It's called Assault 3.
Hello.
Assault doesn't make me feel good. Or it could just be three Wolverine claws.
It's an M.
Is it?
Yeah,
oh,
monster.
It's a monster drink.
Yeah. We have
Assault 3.
What do we have?
We have new people in the studio now.
Thank God.
We're at a comic store.
Who do we have, Mike Norton?
Tell us. It's the fags.
It's the comic book queers. It's Eric and Steve. Can I call you Steve?
Yeah, call me Steve. What else would you call me?
Well, it's Josh Middleton's husband.
Okay, because that's what the email said.
I don't know. Why is he?
Steve is in love with Josh.
I think he's awesome. He's really cute.
The other day, she has these pictures on rotation in her bedroom, and I walked by in her her music room, and she has these pictures. She rotates them, and I looked in there. I was like, why the fuck is Josh Middleton? Why is there a picture of Josh sitting on our thing there? Not his wife, just Josh. She loves the Josh.
Awesome.
So, you happy you came?
What are you on? Oh, my God.
Dennis Downer, ladies and gentlemen.
What are you, anybody listening does not expect anything less than this from me right now, so you guys shut up.
Well, just to be clear, we just walked in, and it's like empty, you know, it's a big table, empty bottles everywhere, reek of ball sweat, which I think is...
It's Swalzy in here.
Yeah.
It's very Swalzy.
Yeah, and I think that's Caters, because he keeps swishing it around.
Swalzy, I like that. But I feel like I'm sitting on a dish rag most of the day.
Oh. Yeah, no, that's just me.
Nice.
Stopping what?
Some of us are here.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, what do you want?
Come on.
It's hour 8.
Hey, Swalz, what can you do?
You know, I'm surprised that we didn't talk about ball sweat earlier, so you're getting be lucky.
Tim didn't get on mic, or we would have been talking
we would have been talking about all kinds of crazy stuff.
Well, we're fucking morning fresh, just so you know.
Well,
like,
hey.
Not really.
It comes in, it's all man sweaty balls in here, and they come in, they got their nice margarita.
This is my BJ. My Bartles and James margarita.
Casey's going to rob one of those. Casey, they have margarita.
Casey, you want a BJ?
Yes, let's do it.
Then you hand her the drink, and she's like, oh.
She likes the other one, too.
Oh,
God.
Hey. Casey's a freak in the evening. Afternoon as well, but evening.
But just going to a convenience store, watching Steve buy Bartles and James, it's like, hey, what are you doing after third period? It's a little creepy.
I didn't feel like beer, that's all.
Tasty shit.
So,
I just do the Mike's Hard Lemonade when I do.
So what's going on?
I've never had one of those.
So how you doing?
I have no idea what to talk about. So, I mean, come on.
Mike's already got that 1,000-yard stare going.
Why don't you guys talk about your show?
Great. We recorded. Here we go.
Content.
Eric's sure. Promo. Hey, let's do it.
Woo! Promo. Do a promo.
It's not even like we get money from it. I don't know what I'm getting my underpants in a knot for. But we just recorded our 48th. Episode earlier today.
I thought you were going to say 48-hour podcast.
Yeah,
God damn you son of a bitch!
Yeah, this 24 stuff, passe. We've done it.
48-hour abs.
So what's on that? What's on that?
21.
What's on that?
What's on that episode?
Just talked about what we were reading.
Yeah. You know, they're like, shut up. For our episode
actually. Yeah, we usually switch in between having some kind of topic and talking about what we're reading now. Last week we were talking about the 5 essential trade paperbacks that should be in every queer's library. Yeah.
What are those? Wait a minute. Can you tell us? Or are we taking away?
Nobody's going to listen to this one.
We'll tell you because nobody listens to our show. So, we'll tell you.
They stopped listening.
In our number 5 slot. In our number 5 slot was Essential Dazzler because we're just that gay.
Mm.
Yeah. She's an icon.
She's completely an icon.
What's number 4?
I can dig it.
Let's move on.
Wait, a blonde in a silver jumpsuit with mirror ball roller.
You saw my girlfriend's right behind me. I got real pussy. I don't need to worship comic book pussy.
You can put her in a silver jumpsuit. She's
I do that with Spock ears. Spock ears and a Darth Vader helmet. Talking about harder. Like that.
Oh, Scotty.
You are so ambiguous right now. But the number
was number four.
Yeah, number four was Tag, the second trade paperback in Ex Machina.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ex Machina, my favorite series.
Awesome.
Is it because you like the book or you just love BKB?
I'm trying to remember which one I stopped because I have most of them. I haven't read all of them yet.
Yeah, the second one, the reason why we picked it, it's the one that has the gay marriage subplot. You know, normally there's some kind of political issue.
Yeah, I do have that. I did read that.
We had a two-way tie for number three, which was Young Avengers, first trade, and The Authority under new management.
Right.
The second trade.
Yeah. And the thing that both those...
Although we were schooled on that one, that it wasn't the second trade where we found out about Midnighter and Apollo. It was actually the first storyline, like towards the end, the last issue or something like that.
You guys must have felt like assholes.
Well, we
every morning when I wake up.
We
screwed that up.
We have hardly any listeners at all, but the ones that we do have are happy to chirp in and correct. So that's always
nice. Tom knows nothing about that. I wouldn't swear.
Fucking Monday!
Yeah. So number one.
Number two.
Or number two. Pardon.
Oh, God, number two.
Fun Home.
Fun Home. Yeah, and...
I haven't read that yet. I hear so
we're
many
only
going to
say it here.
It.
This is, like, the exclusive... I mean, we're superhero comic people, most of us. And Fun Home's like this literary, gorgeously written thing that's too good for us, so normally we wouldn't...
I haven't read it.
Yeah.
So I kind of refuse to read it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Number one better be my book, because I have one of the gays in it. In my book.
But I didn't even know he was gay until you told
it's
me.
Because you're trying to deny it.
I don't think they've ever mentioned it in the comic book before.
Hmm? Who's gay? Anoli, the little lizard kid.
You know, and with his one big arm, you should change his name to Little Fisty.
It was his right arm, you noticed, that I changed.
So there's some mean shit going on in the X dorms.
All I need is Crisco and my rage.
Them ever saying that.
You guys are afraid of sexuality, so you
ignored that's what I ignore. I blocked it out. I never read that page.
They're just friends.
I tear them out.
You missed
it, my comic.
You missed the page where he bends Rock Slide over the couch in the lounge.
I had no idea.
I'll show you, sissy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you just read that one.
The hidden Scotty Young pages.
I do read the comic, Scotty.
That was the hidden page. It's going to come out in the trade.
Yeah, that'll be the trade.
The Rock Slide rape scene.
The director's cut.
So what was number one?
Oh, number one was God Loves, Man Kills. Yeah,
I love
graphic
that
novel.
I read that when, I was in seventh grade when
it first came out. Yeah. It's not that it's so much that it was gay, just the whole...
The whole metaphor.
Yeah,
and the thing is, I mean, you had the religious right out to kill mutants, and this came out at a time where basically... the religious right and the administration. Yeah, well, through negligence, basically, they were killing gay men.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, sure,
I mean,
sure.
You could argue that. And so it's in a lot of ways, it's kind of the perfect gay metaphor. And people always talk about that with the X-Men, but I think that's like the very best example. So
that's cool. We had no idea we were talking about gays.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't think Stan knew.
You know, give a guy a third eye. That might be interesting. I don't know.
Okay, your Stan Lee sounds like Funky Phantom.
Hey, great. Yeah.
Funky Phantom.
I love the Funky Phantom.
Oh.
I can't even remember who that is. The name sounds familiar.
There's those certain Hanna-Barbera characters that only pop up in, like, Laugh Olympics. Or, weird, like...
It was a series.
Yeah, it was a great series.
It was. Yeah, he was a Revolutionary War ghost. And he talked like Snagglepuss. Funky Phantom. Hey.
And he ran around with a group of kids and they solved mysteries.
Yeah,
I do remember it.
Yeah,
oh, my God. I only saw it.
Well, I was going to say, one could argue that it's a touch derivative, but...
It's their own company. They can do whatever they want.
It's the very spirit of 76.
They're solving mysteries. They seem to like that, Adam.
Yeah. Throw in a dog would be fine.
Bill Hanna, Joe Barbera. Yeah, do that, Adam.
Maybe they could be friends with a tiger this time.
Hey. Make the car talk, all right? Cut out the middleman. You don't need a dog in a car. Make the car a talking car. Perfect.
Speed buggy. There you go.
Thank you. Very good. There you go.
Attaboy. That was so equine.
Yeah, that
now.
Was my only.
That was your one character.
That's all I'm contributing to this hour. Thank you. Good night.
That's my character.
That's my character.
That's my one character in my arsenal.
Oddly enough, that's my Dan DiDio, too.
This candy corn went over like gangbusters, dude.
I'm glad I brought that.
Speaking of cartoons, did you guys hear this week? WB?
We talked about it earlier.
We talked
today.
About it a little bit earlier. I wasn't
yeah,
even
it literally was hour one. It really was.
I wasn't even
here for
it. Again,
it was so static that nobody heard it.
CW has not renewed
and dropped Kids WB Saturday morning cartoon programming and replaced it with 4Kids Entertainment, which is like animation, yeah, for like, you know, like Dora the Explorer and very young cartoons.
You know,
so the new Spider-Man animation, gone, doesn't have a home yet. No, I mean,
well, sure, that does Fox or somebody pick it up, you know?
No, because Fox is with, Fox is also with 4Kids. They're not canceling, they're, so 4Kids is both.
That's awful.
Mean, Warner Brothers Animation is not stopping.
No.
But they no longer have Kids WB to air their shows. So some shows will go straight to DVD.
Yeah.
Some shows are just going to have to hunt for a home. So that new Spider-Man that they've been like promoting the hell out of is at this point kind of in limbo.
Or even like I think the Legion has been great.
Mm-hmm. And, the Batman.
The season was a couple episodes. Awesome.
I didn't like it the first couple seasons, but I have to admit now it's good.
You know, I hate this entire thing that's happening with kid shows where there's this drift towards things that are kind of like pseudo educational.
Yeah. We talked about the other.
Oh my God, I hate that. It's the
ridiculous.
Same thing.
Do you guys want me to open the fence?
Right. Or the in every time it's like let's solve this big mystery and they'll jump on their bikes with fucking helmets on, you know,
and pads.
And,
don't forget your elbow pads,
right? And every there's something, especially if it's a really childlike animal anthropomorphized cartoon character wearing a fucking bike helmet.
Right.
Like I'm getting just pissed off just talking about it. I don't know, like it bugs me. I think kids are pussies.
Yeah.
I do. I think kids today,
it's not kids.
They're going to grow up gay.
Yeah,
it's all gay. Yeah. It's going to be the gay revolution.
It's going to be like Tyler, Trevor, Ashley.
Stop, you're
all
revealing
fags.
The agenda. Oh.
Like we're all like,
God damn it.
Our generation's all like, oh, G.I. Joe and guns. And they're all growing up like, oh my God, it's just like SpongeBob.
Right.
I just bought the rights to SpongeBob.
On,
we're going to publish that.
Level. Let's go.
But
it's a fucking pineapple. I love SpongeBob, just for the record.
That is a pretty big shocker to Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, that pretty much takes all comic book-related cartoons off the air.
Exactly.
They're gone.
Well, and it makes no sense because, on the other hand, they are having such success with ratings for adults, which I understand may not be the audience that they're catering to, but as you say, is the DVD market big enough to, I mean, maybe to do an occasional movie? But it's certainly not going to do the 22 episodes.
Well, what did Superman Doomsday do? Does anybody know?
Well,
did you guys? Well.
And that's part of the. I mean, Warner Brothers' reaction was. I mean, obviously, it was kind of like a PR spin, acting like they're not that worried about it. But I'm sure there was some people fired on the Warner Brothers end for how this went down. But
you know, ever since those fuckers canceled Veronica Mars, I don't care.
I got
it. Yeah,
ring that bell, baby.
Yeah, Kristen Bell. Fucking I loved that show. I loved it. It was the only like TV appointment that I had.
Right.
Like I wouldn't even wait for TiVo. I wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah. And I just love that. So the CW kind of can't do a lot of right by me. Although Reaper's awesome. I don't know if you guys are watching.
Did you like
that.
The second episode?
Yeah. Reaper. I liked it better than the first.
Really? I liked the first one better. I mean, I thought it was okay. I just felt like, all right, I went down this road on the first episode, but all right.
Oh, I feel like
you guys already talked about this shit, haven't you?
No, that's
not off and on, really. I mean,
don't sweat it, boys.
I'll talk about Reaper again. I don't care. I thought, like,
I'm not listening to all
the first episode of Reaper was like totally bitching. It was weird, quirky. There was a surprising amount of like gore and blood and crap like that for like what's supposed to be just a lighthearted comedy kind of thing.
I really liked it more than I thought I would.
But then the second episode felt different, which is fine. But it felt more like together, I guess.
It
almost
feels like a really, really good Kevin Smith movie to me. But shorter.
But that's the thing. I could not. I mean, and I was gonna wait till Tabor was on, but I could not. I could not sense Kevin Smith's stamp on that show at all.
Oh my God, I completely could.
In the first episode, I could.
Yeah, Loser Chic. That whole Loser Chic thing.
Yeah.
It was quirky and jerky a little bit, like in some scene cuts and things like that.
The number two guy,
he didn't direct the second episode, though.
I know, but what I'm saying is the first one.
Oh, I know.
The first
direction was lively. The camera moved.
And the dialogue was not Kevin Smith dialogue. Obviously, he had nothing to do with that part. That's probably what I like most about it.
I think directing television will actually help him in the long run.
Right.
Because his movies are still static anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he can figure out how to move a camera around and not be married to the dialogue like he is to his own stuff.
You know, not static, but actually declining. Like
I thought Jersey Girl was well directed, but he got
Oh my God! I seriously thought you were kidding.
No, I mean, visually, it was a step up from what he's usually been doing because he actually got like an A-list cinematographer to help him out on that show, and that's he even said like I have to get an A-list cinematographer to make this movie look good.
I am speechless.
Did you see it on VHS, pan and scan?
I don't know.
Rented on DVD.
Well, I'm never Letterboxd. The thing is, I wouldn't watch Jersey Girl and be like, oh, the mise en scène, breathtaking. I just that's not how Jersey Girl works. Okay, girlfriend. It's just that's not. I loved in oh my God, this gets me in a bad queer place when I even talk about this, but I loved Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
I loved it. Talk to
Norton about this. We had this conversation. He doesn't like
Scotty's girlfriend in the back of the room also nodding. So let me
I love Chasing Amy too.
Let's get female perspective in on this.
I work in an office and put my headphones in and found it online to watch it a couple days at work. I love that movie.
Does your boss know?
Over and over and over. Huh?
Does your boss know?
No.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah.
But
no, I agree with Chasing Amy. Like, I wish he would do something on that level, like that mature, I guess I'd say.
And the thing is, there were this may come as a shock, but there were some lesbians who were a little humorless about it. They, but the belief was like, you know, oh, she just sort of flips back and forth in the way they portrayed lesbians. But what I really liked about it was the, and I'm fagging out, I'm really sorry, but it's the portrayal of sexuality as being really fluid. I think they portrayed it as a little more choiceful than it actually is because, I mean, I couldn't find the clitoris with one of those miner's hats with a light on it. But you know, and
neither can Scotty.
Oh,
am I right?
Yeah.
Am
I right? Awesome, sweeto.
He's not even here for it. He's not even here for it.
Let's not tell him.
Tell him to listen to hour 8. Awesome. What is it, hour 8 or hour 9?
We're on hour 8.
All right. Have him listen to it. It's a surprise.
But yeah, it was Chasing Amy was a really thought-provoking movie. It's got that like kind of self-conscious dialogue that really works, and it's just that's by far my favorite Kevin Smith movie.
Wow.
And everything after that has just been like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, no,
like,
those are terrible. Yeah. Those are terrible.
I felt like
it was a throwaway road picture.
I enjoyed that movie for what it was, though.
Exactly.
I mean, me too. It was a time when all these gross-out comedies were coming out. It was like around Riding the American Pie Wave, mm-hmm. and he did a good job with it, you know? And, like, again, it's like, as comic book fans and stuff, I mean, you get all the references and all the pop culture references. It's fun to watch it and, like, I recognize what he's doing.
I've said...
you know, but it's not his strongest movie.
I don't even know if I should even bring it up. But, I mean, I've said it before... I
your opinion makes no sense, but continue.
It doesn't make sense?
No, you said you don't like his dialogue. You like his movies, but you don't like his dialogue.
I hate his dialogue.
See, that's what makes his movies, though.
The thing is, yeah, his dialogue is really self-conscious, but did you ever watch... You know that guy who did Last Days of Disco and Metropolitan?
Yes, Whit Stillman.
Yeah,
Whit Stillman.
He has a very quirky kind of dialogue, and people don't actually talk that way, but I feel like in the context of his movies, it works.
Right, and I understand that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I owned Chasing Amy. I still do. I don't think I got rid of it. But I mean,
Ninja ate it.
And I did like it at one point. But I remember distinctly, I watched it once. I was still living in Memphis, and I put it on, and I watched it. And for some reason, I was watching it. I was like, are you kidding me? I got mad at it just because it was, especially the ending, the resolution of the film. I thought.
Are you talking about the three-way? Or
yes,
the proposed that three-way?
Particularly. Yeah. I thought, that's science fiction.
It is. That was science.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know,
that would never happen.
It made sense in the context of the world.
Who
exactly
thinks that would be a good idea?
Yeah, I didn't get that scene.
Yeah,
what are you, a lesbian?
The whole thing fell apart then. And forget that I don't like his dialogue and it's too snappy and stuff like that. I mean, I forget that. I just thought that from then on I was just like hyper aware of his movies. And the only movie of his that I like
is Jersey Girl.
No, I haven't seen Jersey Girl. I only like Mallrats. And let me explain why. It's because
don't defend yourself. I saw that on my
It's phone. The only movie I think that doesn't ever pretend to be anything but a stupid movie.
Right. Yeah.
Stupid
yeah.
Sex, yeah. Teen sex movie.
And that fine. You can have your pat high school drama club dialogue in that.
Uh-huh.
And it works because it's not. It's stupid.
No, you didn't. Just high school drama class, Kevin Smith. No, you didn't.
That's what I call the dialogue where the person that's talking obviously knows exactly what the other person is going to say. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. You've just shaken my world at its core. I'm going to have to – yeah, I'll have to
Dawson's
watch
Creek.
For that. But I didn't – I loved
it's
Dawson's
so – I mean,
sure.
when
yeah,
the person –
you got to admit that the dialogue was just
Dawson's
like that, though.
Yeah.
I watched all season of Dawson's Creek.
Big surprise, the fags are connecting with the only lady.
It fell apart in the end.
I love
it. How's Dawson's Creek without?
But there's no way that 13-year-olds or 14-year-olds sit there and talk that fast after something like that they know what they're saying.
Well, the thing is, in the context of that world, you kind of, I mean, okay, yeah, people can't fly. But sometimes, when you open up a comic book,
it works unto itself.
I get it. I get it.
I'll put Superbad in there a few times. Not often, because I really did like the movie, but there were a couple times.
Like him.
Don't spoil it.
I love it.
But no, I was going to say, like, when the kids start singing These Eyes, I'm like, okay, what 14-year-old kid knows, or fine, 16 or 17-year-old kid knows These Eyes by the guest?
Well,
the problem, the hip kids that are outcasts, man.
Well, and the problem is, if he was like, I'm bringing sexy back in the middle of it, I don't know.
I would have expected a more pedestrian song. Or when they refer to something as being so Jump Street. I'm like, come on, kids, you don't know what Jump Street is.
No, well, he's wearing, you know, they have Jonah Hill. Are you talking about Superbad? We're talking about Superbad,
yeah,
right?
Superbad.
Well, yeah. No, it's like they have Jonah Hill wearing the Richard Pryor shirt and stuff. So these guys are in the know, and they've done their research. Or Seth Rogen and his writing partner.
It was supposed to be set in the 80s. It's not set
I'm unclear.
No, because they have cell phones.
Superbad wasn't a period piece.
It's more or less it's in the movie. It's a throwback.
The cultural references in Buffy the Vampire Slayer were so archaic for teenagers at that particular time.
Really?
Okay. And
they were outcasts. Yeah, it worked so well.
And the thing is, I didn't... Like I said, you kind of... You realize it's fiction.
You suspend belief because of the world that you're watching.
Right, and absolutely. It doesn't pull you out of it. And that's the same experience I have with Chasing Amy, the Whit Stillman films, which I like.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Joss Whedon and Brian K. Vaughan and Brian K. Vaughan aping Joss Whedon in the Buffy Season 8 comic.
Right. God, I love the
gorgeous. That's gorgeous. Brian K. Vaughan walks on water.
You're not going to get anything from me. I mean, I'm not going to
badmouth
him.
Someone to say differently.
Everything I've ever read by Vaughn is awesome.
And Kirkman says Vaughn is the best guy to write a first issue. He said, because I asked him about how tough it is when you start a new series to get people in with that first issue. And he said, Vaughn is the best guy that I know that currently does it. He goes, I don't know anyone better. He goes, in fact, I'm giving up writing my first issues and giving my ideas to Vaughn.
He really does not.
He writes really good, tight stories that don't ever really let you get bored.
Is this going to turn into a Brian K. Vaughn love fest?
Because
I work with the guy. I'm not going to say anything bad about him.
I'm unfamiliar.
Okay, let's go around the table. Let's talk about the things we like about Brian K. Vaughn.
Well, he's
the
much
most.
Shorter
Starting with
than
Mike.
I thought that he would be.
Okay, that's not a reason to love him. Why do you love him, Mike? Why do you love Brian K. Vaughn?
Well, I told this to my friend Sean when I was reading my first script to his, Brian's. I told McKeever, I was like, you know what? His scripts really remind me of yours because Sean writes these scripts that it's so obvious that he's thinking of all the angles. He's seeing what this is going to look like. He's not writing this as a writer saying, I'll let this guy figure it out. He's thinking visually like it's going to be on a comic book, not a movie. He's thinking panel by panel. He's got it. It's very tight. The dialogue is all worked out. He knows what's going on. And he's just like, that's the perfect kind of script to work from. I mean, he knows what's going on. And I don't have to...
Think?
I'd say that, but it's just like I can concentrate on the important stuff.
Okay. Know? Ladies and gentlemen, Brian K. Vaughan is planful.
Yes.
Virtue one. Yes. Steve?
He sounds like Kermit the Frog.
He does sound like Kermit.
Awesome. I didn't notice that. He's short. And he sounds
we'll call that approachable. Number two, approachable.
When I was 10 years old, Brian K. Vaughan saved me from a burning house.
Oh, yeah.
He's heroic.
He's heroic.
Number three.
He's thrifty, clean, and brave.
He's taken a thing like Ex Machina and put local politics into a comic book and made it compelling. Yes.
He's political.
Yeah, he takes interesting issues.
Combat the
yeah.
smell.
But, Sal and I just bought Meadow Rain. A Febreze candle.
That's awesome.
To cancel out some funk. Some swalzy.
I'm just going to cut to the chase and call Brian K. Vaughan Christ-like. And then we can move on.
He's been dead and come back?
You've gone past.
You know, I haven't really known about him for a long time, so maybe.
This is Eric.
Well, Christ has been known to be short and talk like Kermit the Frog as well.
Right. Came back, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What?
What'd you say?
Didn't Runaways die and come back?
Yeah, canceled. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So there's your Christ-like.
Brian K. Vaughan is Christ-like.
How do you know Jesus didn't sound like Kermit? Imagine if that was true.
Father, me. It's not easy being green. Being Jesus.
Being nailed. Brian K. Vaughan. I'm unfamiliar. Has he written television? Has he? I don't, I'm the movie guy on these things.
I am so jealous of the world that awaits you.
Oh, well, yeah. I will. I'm excited for the Buffy comic book. I'm assuming it'll be in the trade paperback form. That's how I purchased it.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah,
so I'll get
that. Arc is done, so I imagine the trades.
Is it here? I'll purchase it.
No, I don't think the trade's out yet. But the first arc is.
Well,
first.
Then you don't have no sale.
Sorry.
Supposedly, both Why the Last Man and Ex Machina are in talks for. Movie stuff, so we'll never.
Why is not in the process? Why is literally? Yeah, I mean, it's full.
Oh, it's on its way.
It's working.
Yeah, it'll shock me if Ex Machina reaches a point where we ever see it. But why? Oh yeah, I don't think Ex Machina is gonna. And like I said, it's my single favorite comic of all time.
It's one of my favorite currents. I agree with that.
Yeah, the thing is, when I describe it to people, I'm like, you have to read this comic. It's about a guy with superpowers that becomes mayor of New York City. Like, I just, you know what, you know, people are like, where do I sign? I just, no, you can't really sell it to people. But the thing is, when you sit down with it, it's so engrossing immediately. And so.
That first issue.
Yeah,
and
I literally.
Kirkman was too, absolutely.
I literally get chills when I read that book sometimes. Oh, yeah. Like goosebumps. It's just, it's so well written and so. I love you, Brian. Call me. Call me.
I heard your voice there. I like that.
Yeah.
Scotty, I think you need to be on.
Well, this is why we have restraining orders now against Eric.
Brian, let me within 500 yards, I beg you.
He's too busy to do work with him right now. He keeps telling me. He's like, I want to do it, but I swear to God, I'm just really busy. I'm like, okay. We'll get to it.
Don't worry. We sent him an email. He's like, I love the gays. No.
Do you guys read DMZ?
What?
Mm-hmm. Do you read DMZ?
I read the first three story arcs of DMZ.
The first three trades?
Yeah, the first three. I really liked it a lot,
yeah.
But I just fell out of it.
Really?
Yeah, I just kind of felt like this war is going on a little too long if it's just Jersey.
Right.
This is awful, but I like saw DMZ and I'm like, ooh, too butch.
It's such a good book.
Why don't you read them here and then review it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good idea.
Too butch.
Too butch.
That's the thing again. It's Vertigo and Wildstorm. I just think they're really doing a lot of unbelievably interesting non-traditional books right now. I'll throw Scalped in there as well.
Scalped is pretty good. I'm very anxious to read
for that one.
Well, the first trade's out. It's over there. Yeah. The first trade is. I found it enjoyable, but I'm hoping that the second trade will take it to a next step. Mm-hmm. Because I did like it, but I was like, this could be a little more for me.
You should like it more than that?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I really...
The second arc's way better.
Yeah?
Way better.
That's what I figured.
Absolutely.
It's almost like that's a book that I felt like, oh, I wish they would have just waited and put like both arcs in one big book. Because the first arc I really enjoyed, but I wanted a little bit more from it.
Actually, one of the things that we were talking about earlier today is the idea of the monthly cliffhanger and talking about what happens when and if monthly issues go away and things are just collected and traded. We were talking about it in the context of Omega the Last Man. Or Omega the Last Man, sorry. I sound like little Brian K. Vaughan on the brain. But
Omega Man.
Omega the Unknown.
Right.
Omega the Last Man.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I just caught that. Literally. I wasn't listening to
you. Are you interested in that? Coming up?
Obviously. Oh, yeah, and I... Yeah,
did the first issue come out this week?
Well,
yeah, it came
well
out
hold
this
on.
Week,
he was talking
right.
about
yeah,
a cliffhanger situation.
Yeah, but basically, the great thing about... One of the other virtues of Brian K. Vaughan is that he does a really good job of cliffhanger-ing. Is that a word? It is now.
We got you.
Yeah, from month to month. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when and if the entire industry... shifts more and more towards trades, how much gets included in each trade.
Right. Well, yeah. I was just saying, I posted on my blog this week, and we had a conversation with Sal about where this past year I've read more comic books than I have probably in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while I've, from books, like The Preachers, and I've read The Why the Last Man, and just a bunch of different books, and I've really enjoyed them, only in trade format. I don't read singles, but there's also a sense that I'm getting of, a frustration of never getting... fully paid off because of the nature of comic books.
Yes. Right.
Where
exactly.
It just so yes. So literally I just because I read I Am Legend.
Yeah.
The book I Am Legend and just absolutely loved it. And then I said, "You know what?" And I asked people to recommend some books for me to go buy some actual novels because I was like, "I've got to take a break from comics and go read some big boy books.
Yeah,
because
I've been
doing
the same way recently.
I'm getting so frustrated by stories that either A, go on, it, like a television show, and we talked about this earlier, but a television show that goes on far longer than it needs to.
Yes.
I feel
Happy Days.
Yeah.
It told its story.
Damn you, Chachi.
But I'm feeling that same way with comic books, where I just feel like, because of the nature of the ongoing saga and the single issue style of storytelling, that there's a sense that I'm never going to get the full payment. And in books, and I've talked about this, like a Preacher, or hopefully with Why the Last Man, it doesn't happen when it gets to the end, when I get to read the last trade. But to me, I feel like, did this go on too long to the point where even the creator themselves weren't fully in it? Because that's a...
Okay, sweetie, the answer is no.
On Why the Last Man, I understand that. I understand. No, I'm not saying every book. But
yeah, I was going to say the single issues that are coming out now are breathtaking.
Well, what we were talking about were the single issues, like, in accordance with, like, Uncanny X-Men.
Right.
Uncanny X-Men, whenever they have a big storyline, by the time you get to the end of the storyline, the quote-unquote resolution, you're unsatisfied because it isn't a real resolution.
Right.
Because they have to set up for the next story.
Yes.
And they have to always get people back to the status quo, like... How many times has Professor Xavier been crippled now?
Yes.
And died. Fucking A, I will not pronounce it Xavier. Right. I just won't. It's Xavier.
Yeah.
And he's just
it's
been...
eczema.
He's been crippled over and over and over. And I was just reading the last issue of Uncanny X-Men and kind of enjoying it. But at one point, there's like this rubble and Professor Xavier's walking through it. And I found myself vaguely resentful.
Is that Brubaker, Uncanny?
No, that's my therapy issue.
Oh, okay.
It's that need to constantly return to the status quo.
Yeah.
It's like you've got to figure out how Peter Parker is going to end up unmarried.
Yes.
You've got to figure out how Nightcrawler is going to be all Christy.
Sure. And yeah, for me, it's not even coming from this. It's not like the fanboy part of me. Yes, of course, the fanboy side of me wants to see the same character for years and years and years. But the adult in me who wants to get engrossed in characters and a story, not just a situation. I'm not a fan of just situational storytelling. Right. I want to believe in characters. I want to see a character arc.
And you want to see development with those characters.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying.
You want to see an arc. You want to see go from A to B to C to D, where it usually goes from A to B, and then by the end of the story, they have to take it back to A, or they won't be able to go on. Right. And so I went and bought like 10 novels yesterday because I was like, that's it. I have to get some kind of fucking endings in my life or I'm going to kill somebody.
You know, one of the recent novels I read, getting back to Omega the Unknown, Motherless Brooklyn.
Is it good?
Oh, my fucking God.
Is that Latham as well?
Yes. Yeah, it's Jonathan Latham. And it's the story of this orphan who has Tourette syndrome who...
I just saw a South Park episode on that.
Sorry. Yeah.
Piss out of my ass.
I got rid of my good cable package. And
that was awesome.
But Motherless Brooklyn was fucking amazing. And you kind of like, I don't know. It's hard because comics have been so defensive for so long about like, it's an adult medium.
Right.
Look at Alice and Bechdel. You know, like Fun Home.
You
it's
just
like,
did that.
I
Ooh.
Did. Quit pointing out my hypocrisy. And sit in my lap.
Have you guys... We were talking about this book earlier. Have you guys read I Love Beth Cooper?
Who?
I Love Beth Cooper.
Have no, I haven't even heard of that.
Hey, don't talk about it until I'm on it.
Is that Betty's sister?
Well, I was just asking if they've read it, because I haven't read it yet, but I just want to know.
Oh, okay. Everybody's
really?
But the Brooklyn. What is it?
But Motherless Brooklyn. It's a story... Basically, it's a detective story about a guy who has Tourette syndrome. It's hilarious, and it goes at just a perfect pace. It's a fantastic, fantastic book. And as I was reading it, I'm like, oh, my God, I feel like such a grown-up instead of the idiot man-child that I really am. But I went to the comic shop, and sure enough, you know all that crap they just load in your bag?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You go to the comic
CSN,
shop.
CSN, yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. There was a postcard, and the art was beautiful, and it had this very, and I'm looking at Scotty now, very delicate inking.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure, sure.
Not that, like, heavy-handed, like, bitch needs to be in shadow,
right.
None of that stuff. Just this very delicate inking. The art was amazing, and it said Omega the Unknown, series I loved growing up.
It was kind of the sepia-toned, old-school, muted colors. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And
so Eric pushed his boner down.
Yeah. Yeah. I tucked it into my waistband because it feels better. And
Sure.
Oh, you're laughing because it's true. Yeah. But, yeah, Jonathan Latham was on this, and I'm like,
right.
That's one of the things that, you know, having been out of comics for about 15 years and getting back into it in about 02, something like that, I love the emphasis on writing and good writing and bringing in novelists, sure. And it's so exciting.
Is everyone, though, paying off in comics what they normally do in novels? Do you feel that most of the novelists that have come to comics? Because I'd say it's 50-50. Well, and that's fine. I mean, it's fair.
I wonder if it's a matter of if what they're capable of or if what companies drive them to do.
Certainly, or what editorial.
That's what I mean. Because,
Jody, just off the top of my head, Jody Picoult.
Yeah.
Picoult?
The one who did Picoult,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I wouldn't know her from my ass.
I don't read her books. Yeah.
Who cares?
I'm a Charlie Houston fan. I'm not crazy about his Moon Knight.
And the thing is, Orson Scott Card. Like,
there's another good example.
No.
In terms of a bad way.
Bitch wants us all in camps. Like, he's like, I
think that's true.
That's
a personal
issue, though. That's not his writing.
He is kind of.
Talk about his writing.
Talk about his writing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't
read
it.
Yeah, but I think I
won't read it. My
Borders trip, I bought the two Charlie Houston books, by the way. Already Dead
and he's gone, you're going to be upset.
No,
yeah.
And I can appreciate that. When you find out personal things about authors and artists and stuff, yeah, it does
kind of. Yeah, I mean, he said things that were pretty aggressively anti-gay.
No, you're right about that kind of bummed me out too, because when I read his books, I read that before I knew about his non-worldly view on accepting everybody.
Yeah.
But anyway, but he's been a terrible comic book writer, quite frankly.
Oh, really?
Terrible, like I said,
I haven't
been able to read his novels. I tried to read Ender's Game. I got halfway through it and I put it down.
Yeah, I mean, this was 20 years ago when I read this stuff.
Joseph Smith in Ender's Game. I didn't reckon.
I wonder if, with novelists, again, I wonder if you were to give a novelist the opportunity to come over and truly write a graphic novel and say, tell us a story from beginning to end using the comic book visual art form. I wonder if they wouldn't, you know, they'd have a much better chance to come over. I mean, I find it hard-pressed to find that anybody that is used to having the freedom to tell a concise story from beginning to end and then saying, hey, 22, baby, that's the magic number in this business.
22 pages.
You break up your tale in the style of storytelling that you're used to, do it in 22. That, I mean, I do find that to be, if somebody is, obviously, or Scott's Card has sold a shitload of novels.
Sure.
You have a guy who's going to come over. I wish they would give that guy the chance to say, hey, do an OGN.
You want
to do this? Do a story.
What's an OGN?
Original graphic novel.
Oh.
I don't know your letters and acronyms and things.
I'm like, isn't that a lady doctor?
Hey, hold on. Hold that thought. On that note, we're going to go ahead and close out the 8th hour and start the 9th hour.
Ooh.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
all
right. I have more to say in the conversation, whatever you want.
So we'll pick that right back up.
All right,
we'll recap and pick it up.
Fair enough, Lester.
So
we're going to fillet each other during the break.
I'm going
to
take it out.
We always end on something. We always end on something good, yeah. All right, so we'll be back in a minute. See, I waited for you.
inside your head.
I know, yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.